confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world.
Pro-Am championship belts, who have the highest quality championship belt with the lowest prices. Replace those old trophies with stock belts on hand that they can customize for as low as $30. Any occasion, celebrations, awards, championship, fantasy leagues, gifts, plus wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. If you need championship belts, check them out. Pro-Am championship belts, proambelts.com. Look them up on Facebook, Pro-Am belts. Trust me, nothing says cool like Pro-Am. Championship
MMA Madhouse Live would like to thank our sponsors: Bushido Martial Arts and Fight Gear, Draco Impact Sports, Intimidation Clothing, Jax Media, Pro-Am Belt, Clinch Custom Mouth Guard, Vision Smoke Shop and Glass Distribution, Crossroader Clothing, Triumph Fitness, Big T's Nightclub, Game Changer Clothing, Rear Naked Smoke, Clock Tower Pub, Ink Tank Tattoo, Central Oregon Trike, The Goat Locker Boxing Gym, and Garrett Fertig announcing. You can find me at GarrettFertig.com. And remember...
Yeah, remember, support your local MMA. Everybody, welcome to Madhouse Live. Tonight we got a great little show. We're going to be talking a lot of grappling tonight, but before we get too far in the show, let's get my partner in crime on the mic.
Selection. Check out this selection right here.
Where you from?
Critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls me nothing except for your mother, because she's first your monkey ass.
What's up, killer? How's it going tonight?
Pretty good, man. How
are
you doing?
Oh, you know me. I've been still digging out of snow all day.
Dude, I'm watching this video of these grandmas smoking pot for the first time. This is hilarious.
Who's?
I don't know. It's a video. It's just a hilarious video. Documents grandmother smoking pot for the first time. I'll send it to you in a minute.
Look,
there's one that goes, they go, have you ever smoked weed before? And then he goes, no, we just had our cigarettes and our cocktails, and we were good to go.
I recently had a buddy. His wife told me, she goes, hey, my husband smoked, you know, some weed for his first time. He was out front in the front yard, like, playing Cowboys and Indians all by himself. I was like, I want to know where these people get that stuff from. That's all I got to say, because that ain't local.
Well, dude, the thing I wonder is, you know, I mean, I don't know if you remember the first time you smoked pot. I didn't get high the first time I smoked pot. No, that's not true. I did, because we smoked like 8 bowls. But most people don't get high the first time. Oh, now these ladies are hitting a vaporizer. Oh, this is awesome. They just hit like a double chamber, like 12-inch bong, and now they're hitting the vaporizer.
Aha.
This lady just said she thought it was a dildo. She goes, I thought this vaporizer was a dildo, but it has this straw coming out of it, and I've never seen anything like that.
Dude, these old ladies are, like, going to be hurting. I'll tell you what. Hey, folks, by the way, welcome to MMA Madhouse Live, number 227. Me and Lepaki are kicking back tonight. We're going to be talking Submission Series 902. This is a great sub-only event based in Nova Scotia. You guys, I definitely check that out. And then in the second hour, we'll be kicking back with Rex Payne, talking a little BJJ with him. This first hour, though, we got Kat joining us. We're also going to have the one half of the main event, Kyle Sanford, black belt on the Titans MMA, Halifax, and the Gracie black belt. It's going to be pretty sick. I can't wait to talk to him about this. It's, you know, you know me, I think I would have to say you probably agree. We like seeing the ground game. For us, it's just as fun to watch a good, you know, grappling match as it is to watch a good kickboxing match or a good MMA match. I mean, a good fight's a good fight. So it'd be kind of nice to see some more people getting out there with the sub-only leagues.
Yeah, I think, you know, the only thing about sub-only leagues is, do you go to a draw? I mean, because if you're going to say it's a sub-only and then you have a time limit, or, you know, I mean, it's hard for these tournaments to go, you know, sub-only, no time. You know, I mean, that's because that, you know, you may have a match that takes an hour and a half.
That would be, I'm telling you what, that would be like legit. That would be like the best bang for your buck on tickets, man, you could ever ask for. You know?
Yeah, but what did I mean? People would do. If you haven't got a submission on somebody in that long, I mean, I'm tired of watching, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
You know,
it's interesting. Because, like, a match like we saw at Metamoris would have probably gone on for hours.
Which,
you know,
one?
When we, Eddie Bravo Gracie fight.
Yes.
Match.
I think eventually he'd have got that vaporizer and broke Hoyler's knee, but I mean, he had that thing pretty deep, and he, you know, Hoyler's knee has been popping like 7 or 8 times, and he just wasn't going to tap. He knew it was, there was a time limit. That's why I think you got to find a way to, you know, if it's 20 minutes, if it's 30 minutes, whatever. But at that conclusion, there's somebody won. Like, somebody was in more dominant position. Somebody was attempting more submission. Somebody, you know, there's some, you know, you've got to, and I guess we'll talk to this guy about that tonight, see what he thinks. But, you know, I mean, for me, it's hard to do a submission-only tournament with time limits because, so if you don't get the sub in the time limit, are both guys eliminated?
Hey, that's a good question. But we're going to get to find out all this stuff here in a few minutes with Kat. We're about 6-7 minutes from calling him up, and we'll be getting Kyle on shortly thereafter.
So, hey, dude, let's talk about something. Let's talk about some MMA for a minute. We've had 3 weekends in a row with these, like, and we'll call them Tier 2 events. Titan, World Series of Fighting, and was the first one at RFA where the guy missed weight?
Yep.
You know, you get a title fight. You're a professional fighter on the verge of going to the UFC or just got cut from the UFC, and you have an opportunity to really, you know, rebuild your name, and these guys can't make weight. Now, that, to me, I really like what Gaethje did by telling Gaethje, hey, if we're going to fight, bro, you're paying me half your money.
Yeah, and that bumped him up in pay. It helped out quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, you know, and then we look at Titan, and Mike Ricci really gets no punishment.
You know, I'll be honest. I'll say it here. You know, I'm curious to see. You know, I know that Titan is, you know, making, you know, all these big moves and signing these fighters, and I don't see enough of them fighting up for the ones that they are signing. And I also don't know how 2015 is going to hold up for them, man. You know, I'm hearing that, you know, the Titans going to lose their CBS deal. That's going to hurt them substantially if they do.
Oh, yeah, that. And I'm, the one I'm even curious about is World Series of Fighting, man.
That's, you know, the rumors about that, there's a lot of different ones, but the one that sticks to me the most is they're having money issues. Now, if that's true, that's a bad deal. I'll tell you who, I thought Bellator's payroll was pretty decent. When I looked it over, I thought the guys were getting some fair money for their fights. I was a little confused about a couple of fighters, you know, with bigger names getting lower pay, but, you know, that is what your management got you. So, I mean, I don't know if they can bitch, but, you know, they need to bitch at them and say go for more next time. But I thought Bellator's roster financially wasn't bad. I thought Bonner for $100,000 was retarded, though. I could give you 4 fights, great fights, with legitimate contenders out there to be at that upper echelon for that kind of money.
And you're just going to pay them all 12 and 12?
Yeah, you know what I mean? You could easily pull four great fights with guys maybe 17 through 25, 17 through 35 kind of range, and have some killer fights. You know what I mean? For that kind of money.
Yeah, but those guys are all probably signed already.
That's
yeah,
probably
I mean,
true.
I think that, as weird as it sounds, I think that Bonner and Cheeto kind of, Cheeto especially, I think, earned that kind of money. I mean, they really sold
I'm
that
not
fight
bitching
card.
About
it wasn't
Tito.
A great fight card. But, I mean,
I think Tito
know.
Was right. I think $300,000 for Tito is worth every penny because the advertising, the social media that he put out there, the retweets, the interviews, the one-liners on TMZ, the news, the local Morning View talking about it. I mean, come on. I mean, they got their money out of Tito. My issue was with Stephen Bonner being on the shelf for 2.5 years, and you pay this guy $100,000. I could have understood 50 at most.
Well, one thing is they both, that's all they were getting. There was no win bonus.
No. No, yeah, they did get
you
flat
know,
rate.
Straight 100, straight 300. But then you look at, like, Bellator, and at the same time, and you got Will Brooks, your interim or champion or whatever he was going into the fight, gets 32, and Michael Chandler's getting, like, 20. That's not bad money, you know?
It's not. That's what I'm saying.
For me,
I mean,
I'm just curious as to how Bellator is going to cover that kind of expenditure on a television card.
Well, A, I first of all, we know Viacom has deep pockets. I believe with Scott Coker at the helm and the new regime change, you're going to see some corporate sponsors coming in. Like big, nice corporate sponsors to start working with Bellator in 2015. I bet you anything. And it's going to be in-house companies owned by Viacom.
It might be, but, you know, I think they're going to be better off just staying on free TV.
And they
need to fix this BS. And they need to get these cable companies on the West Coast, Comcast, I'm talking to you, that, you know, when the event is live at 9 p.m. Eastern, you need to be showing that event at 6 p.m. Pacific on that network. I mean, if Viacom owns the channel, they have the ability to say, hey, you're going to air this live. I mean, if the UFC can air things live on Fox Sports on the West Coast at those times, why is it that Spike TV can't do that?
It's something that drives me ape. Because if you don't have satellite and you have cable, you get it all 3 hours behind.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I don't like that. I don't like that. Yeah, I think it's horrible. You know, we're going to see – I thought – The walkouts were a little wrestling-esque to me personally. I'm also was in love with the Schilling fight, but there's no way he's going to be a legitimate contender in that weight class. You know what I mean? I mean,
who's going to knock him out?
Who's going to just grab him and throw him to the ground and wrestle him?
They got to get it, but you know what? Every fight starts on the feet.
that's true. I do got to say, what a beautiful knockout, huh? I mean, just kaboom.
Wow. That was a rim rocker.
Dude, yeah, like that's definitely going to go down as an all-time great. While we're talking, let's get it's time. I'm going to call Cat up. Let's do this. See what he's up to. Talk a little submission.
Hello?
Hey, Cat, what's up?
How you doing, Skippy?
Hey, not bad, man. Welcome to Madhouse Live. You're on with Lapaki, my co-host and partner in crime every week, and obviously me. For the fans listening tonight around the world, you know, we've talked a little bit about Submission Series 902, but tell them who you are, and let's talk a little bit about your events coming up.
Yeah, I guess my name's Cat Clark. I'm based here out of Nova Scotia, Canada, on the East Coast. Yeah, we're doing Submission Series. It's very similar to like a Metamoris type event. It's submission only, jiu-jitsu, and grappling. We have John Satava from Marcelo Garcia's Dream Team, a brown belt Nogi middleweight world champ. He's actually participating this weekend in Copa Podio down in Brazil, and he's going to be headlining with Kyle Sanford out of Titans MMA. as well. He's a Hendo Gracie black belt. So, yeah, we have three events coming up next year based out of Nova Scotia, and we're hoping to take this thing maybe across the country. We're not sure, but, yeah, you know, jiu-jitsu is on the rise, and we're hoping to kind of showcase what we have on the East Coast, grappling and jiu-jitsu-wise, and also, you know, Canadian and North American-wise for purple belts, maybe, you know, and brown belts and all the way, obviously, black belts.
Well, you know, we're huge, huge fans of all, you know, of the martial arts and grappling sports out there. And, you know, over the last couple of years working with Boyd and Rick and Peter Martel and Wade Graves, you know, we've really come to know your region up there in Maritime, you know, and see, first of all, the talent you guys are developing across the board. I mean, kickboxing, MMA, you know, BJJ, judo. You guys really have a disgustingly talented pool of athletes coming out of that unknown region of the world. And, you know, this when Boyd turned me on to what you're doing, it caught my attention a lot because I'm a big fan of sub only. You know, and that's one of the reasons we wanted you on. We know it's a few weeks before your events and, you know, quite a few weeks. And we kind of wanted to start talking with it and getting, you know, some hype going behind it and maybe find out some of the rules. You know, we were talking before you came on about how this is going to work. And I say let's start there at the beginning. What are we looking at as the rule setups on the sub-only event?
You know, it's a pretty standard rule set. It's pretty much black belt IBJJF rules, and it's going to be everything goes pretty much except for heel hooks. You know, it's the whole idea of this sport is, you know, you don't want anybody to get hurt. We're trying to promote the sport and you know, jiu-jitsu, again, you know, it's a fight, obviously, at the end of the day. But, you know, we don't want to ruin anybody's career at the same time. Certainly under our organization, or obviously just by them taking the time and coming down to train or fight and compete under our organization. So it's you know, it's a pretty standard rule set. And, yeah, sub only 15 minutes. And, you know, it's a 17 by 17 square matted arena, and it's a 280-seat theater. The seats will be lifted up with a perfect view of the theater with a huge, huge broadcast on the back. It's a huge, I don't know, even know the size of it, probably 20 by 30. And that's going to be projecting on the back with the fights as well as a few TVs in the venue as well, broadcasting the fight. And we have some local television stations following it, and it'll be streamed live as well. So.
Now, is this a one-night tournament?
No, this event itself is a one-night event, exactly. But there's three events next year. There'll be this one, another one in June, and then the following one, which will take place at the beginning of October. So
at the conclusion, this is always one of my tricky things. I love the idea of the submission only. But now, if at the conclusion of the 15 minutes, is it a draw?
It is a draw, yes.
Okay.
So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where we're kind of working with the fighters right now. It has been discussed about possibly sudden death, you know, because, it, you know, it's one of those things. It's you train for so long and 15 minutes, nothing happens. It's kind of, in my opinion, a big pain in the ass. So if I can say that. So, you know, it's just one of those things where I think if need be, you have that little extra time. So we'll see what happens.
And will it be gi or no gi?
There's actually 8 matches, so 3 of them will be no gi and 5 of them will be gi. And the main event with Tatava and Sanford will be no gi.
Have you ever, and I haven't really seen anywhere, but have you ever thought about doing participant, I guess, how could you say it? Like participant choice, whether they go in with the gi or with the no gi?
Well, actually, quite a few of these guys kind of decided on their own, which was nice because we have a real tight community here. And obviously, jiu-jitsu community is tight everywhere around the world, but obviously here it's really tight because it's a small community, like you say, and the northeast part of the world. So it's we're really close to one another, and all the guys who are actually competing have contacted one another and discussed it. And, you know, it's in my opinion, if you're going to run one of these events, it has to be exciting. So, you know, it has to be technical in the gi, but it also has to show some kind of exciting stuff as well. So that's where you come in with the no gi, I think. And We have some really great no-gi matchups. The secret matchup will, you know, I can't drop any names with that, but that's going to be a barn burner, no question, with two fantastic brown belts, from one from here in Nova Scotia and the other one from the United States. As well, the main event with Satav and Sanford, that is no-gi. And then we also have another no-gi battle, which is between a gentleman named Kent Peters, who owns a gym here. He's a purple belt out of Zombie Proof, and he'll take on a fan favorite in Gavin Tucker, who's a quite well-known MMA fighter in the Canadian scene. So he's that's going to be I know Gavin's pumped and Kent's pumped for that. So and obviously no-gi, that should be a very interesting fight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now, we were talking to Ben Stark last week, and I love the way he made this comparison of gi and no-gi BJJ. He said, gi is for PhDs and no-gi is for folks with ADD.
It's you know, it's funny because when I first started training jiu-jitsu in my academy, my coach, Black Belt, very well respected on the Canadian scene too, Jared McIntosh, he's a really big no-gi guy, and he's a big Marcelo Garcia fan. And obviously, you know, you look at Peter Martel and what Kevin Taylor, those guys do with, they do a lot of no-gi, but a lot of people have transitioned into the gi game, and it's a lot more technical, and it's, but like you say, that no-gi, the scramble is a lot of fun to watch, and it's, you just never know what can happen.
Hey, speaking of your main event, let's bring Kyle on right now.
Yeah, hey, let's do that.
Kyle, welcome to Madhouse Live. You're on with Papaki, Cat, and myself. How you doing tonight, brother?
Good, man. How about you?
I can't complain, man. It's a good show tonight. We get to kick back with you, and we get to talk about this event. For the fans around the world tonight, why don't you introduce yourself and give us a little bio on your background?
Ooh, my background. I'm getting up there, so it's getting long. I'm Kyle Sanford, obviously, introduced me. I've been doing jiu-jitsu, on the East Coast here. We were probably, I'd have to say, one of the first groups of people doing it. I started with Kevin Taylor, and way back when we used to do Taekwondo, and we kind of stopped doing Taekwondo together, and I met up with Kevin. Kevin to me was always, Kevin Taylor was always the scary guy at the club, at the Taekwondo club, because he had second degree black belt, and he had a crazy mustache, and I'd just see him in the locker rooms, and he was always yelling at somebody, or some girl was yelling at him, and I met up with him one day doing jiu-jitsu. And we used to do jiu-jitsu. We used to just, you know, we didn't know anything back then. If you had the Gracie and action tapes, like the ones Hoist put out, that was, you know, they were like $600, and you learned how to clinch. And if you had those, that was gold. And I think Kevin bought those. So we started training after, you know, after class at the club, and this was like late, you know, mid 90s, late 90s. And so we're pretty old school when it comes to jiu-jitsu. And then we just went from there, stopped doing Taekwondo, started training, just evolved into always moving around, finding a place to train and try to teach enough to pay the rent. Eventually, I got the opportunity. I didn't plan on it, but eventually I got the opportunity to fight MMA. I think my first MMA fight was probably 2004, 2005, something like that. And buddy of mine, actually Shane Rice, you've probably heard of Shane Rice, he's a Hicks and Gracie black belt. He got an opportunity to fight in Montreal, and he said, hey man, you interested in fighting MMA? And I said, nah, not really. I'm a jiu-jitsu guy. And then he's like, oh man, you gotta come up here, you know, you kill these guys on the ground. And I said, all right. And that was that. So I did some MMA fights. I've had 8 fights, and eight fights spread out over the last 10 years or so. Couple knee injuries kind of derailed me.
Well, yeah, you couldn't have been too bad. You couldn't have been too bad, because at one point you were ranked like, what, 71st in your weight class in the world? So
Yeah. Well, it wasn't too bad. I mean, I lost my first fight. I don't think it was bad. I just had some bad timing, and I lost my first fight to Jeff Joslin, and I see him all the time. We still laugh about it because it was both of our first MMA fight, and they changed their both of our opponents. They changed our opponents the day before the fight. And we basically were on our way to the weigh-ins, and they said, "Oh, you're fighting Jeff Joslin now." And I think I was supposed to fight Jonathan Goulet, if I remember correctly. I can't remember. And anyway, they ended up switching us, and we had to fight each other, and we fought in a bar, in a ring in a bar, with like four spotlights in the ring. And we still talk about how he couldn't. There was blind spots. He couldn't see. And he goes. Oh yeah. He goes. We were exchanging there, and he caught me, and I went down. I went down and got right back up. But I mean, it was justified. It was a justified stop because I was on wobbly legs. And he said, I just saw you throwing a punch, and I thought I'll just throw this overhand right, and he probably won't see it. And anyway, so we still laugh. I see him occasionally, and we still laugh about it. It was a pretty fun experience. And then that was my first fight, and then I won my next seven, but they're spread out. There's a couple years between injuries, and then I had a couple, finally got to fight a couple in Halifax, and then my last fight I think was in Edmonton. So I still think I got a couple left in me, but this is, you know, this submission thing will be a good test for commitment because I got to commit to this. Obviously, I'm fighting a world champion, so I got to put in the time and get back in shape, get back in fight shape, and then if this goes well, then you know, hopefully I'll get a couple MMA fights while my body's still holding together.
You've done a lot, you know, you've done a lot of tournaments when it comes to the BJJ world. Does it entice you any more to have a submission only tournament?
Oh, way more. Like you say, like I've done a lot of tournaments. Like I haven't really done a lot. Like I did a few early in my career, like way, you know, not my career, I guess I was still a blue belt. But I did some tournaments, had some good success. Way back, had some good success in the States. But then, you know, I really got away from the jiu-jitsu a lot when I did MMA. I even changed my game a lot. A lot of the guys at the club, a lot of the guys that are there now, they're training hard, like all these guys like Joel and Josh Presley and all these guys that are in there twice a day. They don't, you know, I have to convince them that I was a guard player at one time. Like they just don't believe me. They're like, oh no, you just get on top and crush. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like I used to be all guard. I used to love it. And when I started MMA, I used to see all these fights where guys were, you know, they were badass black belts and they were going in there. And of course you're watching from a jiu-jitsu perspective and you're going, oh man, that guy was on the attack the whole time. The guy was on the bottom, but he was just, he dictated the fight, but then they lose the decision. And it used to frustrate the hell out of me, and it still frustrates people today, because if you're on the bottom, and unless you submit the guy, you know, if you're getting tagged here and there, trying to throw up submissions or whatever, you're just going to lose the decision, and that really got to me. So I really changed. I started doing a lot of wrestling, and I really started my game, became a top game. But I've been doing a little guard now, and I'm starting to go back to it, but. For me, getting back to the tournaments, got a little off track there. Sorry. I'm horrible with points, and I mean half the time I go in there. I've gone to some IBJJF tournaments in the last couple of years. Like I went to Worlds in 2010. I went to Worlds this year past. Did the New York Open. Give you an example, the New York Open. I went Masters division for the first time, just because there was the same amount of guys, and I thought, well, I may as well see. Well, I'll go Master 1, even though I could technically go Master 2. And one of the guys I fought, actually, the Marcel guy, Phil Belmont, and I think it's pronouncing his name right. And And I didn't even realize when I was there, I didn't realize till the end of our match that Masters was only 6 minutes. I thought I was going eight. that was a brown belt. So the guy threw the thing in, and he stood us up. And I said, what's going on? And Phil just looked at me and said, well, it's only 6 minutes. I said, fuck. So, you know, I didn't know that. So that was my first thing. So I said, okay, Masters is only 6 minutes. That's good to know. And then I ended up doing the Open. So I lost on advantages. I think it was 3-1 advantages or something to Phil. And I ended up doing the Open, which was great because I got to fight all the other guys from my division. And in the Open, I made it to the final. And in the final, I looked up. It was a weird situation because my belt came off at one point, and I was fixing my belt, put my belt back on, and then we started fighting again. And I looked up at the scoreboard, and I had a penalty. And then just as I noticed the penalty, the match ended, and there was no points, no advantages. And I said to the ref, he got up to raise our hands. I said, is that my penalty or his? And the ref just kind of looked at me like, don't talk to me. And then when we walked off the mat, he said two things. You can't talk to the ref ever, and you can't fix your belt unless I tell you to. That's what the penalty was for. I said, really?
Wow.
I said, so I lost the finals of an Open because I fixed my belt? And he goes, yep. He said, now you know for next time. So that
politics.
Gives you an idea how much I you know, clueless when it comes to points and rules. But I mean, sub only to me is just old school. It's just the purest form of jiu-jitsu. There's no, you know, there's no stalling. There's no sweeping a guy, partially sweeping a guy when you could have swept him the whole way to get your advantage. And then, you know, and then stall. Like there's all, I see all the games everyone plays and, you know, yeah, they're great at it. And you got to play that game. If you're fighting IBJJF rules, you're fighting, you know, if you're fighting gi, but for me, you know, when we used to just go in the backyard and, you know, we go in the backyard and we grapple for 45 minutes until somebody gave up. And that's just kind of, that's my roots. So it's, for me, it's, that's what it's always been about is just, you know, going until somebody submits. Yeah. I never even thought about the time, thought about the points. And, you know, I've obviously been doing it to do tournaments, but yeah, I love it. I love that. I love the idea of submission only.
But Kat, you know, you're somebody that's been around the BJJ circuit, you know, since you said the late 90s, man. What are some of the good changes you've seen in the sport, and maybe what are some of the bad changes you've seen in the sport since you kind of were there, you know, when it first really cracked off here in the States, before, like, the big push maybe 4 or 5 years ago?
The good changes and bad changes. It's weird because I'm kind of torn about the whole IBJJF thing. Like, I mean, there's a lot of hate thrown their way. Like, you get a lot of guys like, well, me included. I've gone through it. I've gone through trying to register for tournaments. And as far as the rules, a lot of people don't like the heel hook thing. I personally never liked heel hooks, and I think partially because my first ACL got torn by a heel hook, and my second one, I think, you know, probably got injured by one, and then eventually got torn by a simple tie down or something. But my problem with heel hooks has always been like that you don't feel it in your knee, and then your knee just explodes, and that's just a dangerous technique because most of the techniques in jiu-jitsu, you know, or grappling, you feel it where you're going to get hurt. You know, you get an arm bar, your elbow starts to hurt, you get a straight ankle lock, your ankle hurts, you know, you know you're going to get choked out. But the heel hook for me, we didn't train a lot of heel hooks. And this was like, again, this is late 90s when I got my knee blown apart. And the guy just had a heel hook on, and I was like, oh, he's got an ankle lock. And I was like, oh, I'll just fight it with my ankle. And I was thinking, oh, that doesn't really hurt. I'm not going to tap to that. And I was trying to get up, and I was trying to pull him up, and then all of a sudden my knee just went boom. And it was, you know, you could hear it in the whole gym. It was that loud. And I just went, huh, what the hell happened there? And I still didn't, you know, I was still clueless. I was young and stupid. So I just went home and took a week off and started training again. And I think 5-6 years later ended up finally getting surgery. But, yeah, I think I like the I, like the no-gi rule, or sorry, no-gi, I like the no-heel hook rule, but I don't agree with the no, with the knee reaping, like, the way people are I think people are, you know, abusing the rule a bit. They're using it to, like, I think at Worlds there, I believe it was this year, when Keenan Cornelius got DQ'd, like, I thought that was a little ridiculous. And I was there watching it, and I thought, you know, like, he didn't, you know, guys are playing it. They're almost, it's almost diving in jiu-jitsu. They're trying to, I've heard cases of guys pushing the foot across the hip to make it a reap when the guy wasn't even there. You know, the guy puts his foot up on your hip and you push it across and point at it, look at the ref. And, you know, that, to me, that's pretty dirty. So that's one area I don't like. The other area I don't like with the changes is I don't like how hard they're making it for people to do tournaments. Cause I mean, a lot of these guys, I get guys from around here, young guys that train at some of our affiliated clubs, and they're trying to do an IBJJF tournament, and they're saying, can you sign my registration? And then of course we've always been of the practice. If you have a black belt, you can give a black belt, but the IBJJF, you have to have, I think you have to have two stripes. I think you have to be a second dan, second degree to give a black belt or to sign off on a black belt. So for a lot of people, that's kind of making the paper trail really hard to sort out. There's guys that can't fight in tournaments because their instructor isn't a certified IBJJF guy. Yeah, I could probably go on about that for too long. So. Those are my two key points. I could go on forever about that stuff, but some of the experiences
it's
I've
good
had
to hear
with
that, you know, because not often do we get to talk to people that have that kind of experience in the grappling world like you do. So, you know, a lot of these guys started grappling 4 or 5 years ago, and they don't really know what it was like at the turn of the century.
You know, it's true. I told this story. I went to Montreal. We went to the Abu Dhabi trials, but they call it the Canadian Jiu-Jitsu Pro or whatever now. And I was telling a bunch of the guys, I was there with Gavin, Joel, and Josh Wincy, a bunch of guys. And anyway, I said to give you guys an idea, because guys always say to me, they say, "Oh man, you've been grappling so long, you've been doing Jiu-Jitsu so long, and you know since the 90s." Like, I was like, "Yeah, man, but you don't get it. When you know you can't count." The time back then, you can't count as, like, as far as quality time, it's like, it's phenomenal. What you guys are learning now, like what you can go into the club and learn in a month would have took us 5 years to learn back then. Like, it just, you know, and they're like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, put it this way. When I went down to Henzo's for the first time, and I think it was the second time Kevin had been down there, we went down and I think it was 96. I remember the year was when I got my blue belt, so it had been 96. And when we went down there, and it was the most mind-blowing technique ever that just, you know, like, floored me, was when Matt Serra, who was, I believe, a purple belt at the time, he armbarred me from his back. And I was like, what did you just do? And he said, what do you mean? He said, oh, yeah, you could throw an armbar on from guard. I was like, are you kidding me? I don't have to have mouth to go for this? He's like, no, you do it from your back. And I was like, come on. And that's just like, that just changed our game completely. Like, because we were always like, you know, we were like, pass the guard, get side, get mouth. You know, there's a couple subs from side,
knee
and then
belly,
get mouth,
yeah.
And then go, knee on belly, get mouth. Oh, I got mouth. Now I can go for the armbar. No, like, it was just, that's just what it was like. And then all of a sudden, like, that was a game changer. And they had the same reaction you guys are having. They're like, what? And I said, no, man, that's what it was like. Like, that's how little knowledge we had in anywhere. I mean, Canada, but I mean, in this in the Far East, in Nova Scotia, like, we were learning stuff from videotapes and magazines, like a lot of guys were. And we were like, oh, man, you can do, like, this is crazy. And then we came up here, and the guys that were training up here, like the few guys that were training, we were armbarring them from our back, and they were like, wow, you guys are like ninjas. Like, they were just blown away.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
And now it's like a joke.
Like,
Yeah, and now it's like a joke because now it's like
time travel.
Now it seems like there's more. You can do more from your back. Like, you know, like then it was like, oh, you got to be on top. You got to advance your position and get on top, and then you can, you know. But yeah, that gives you an idea.
So it was like the Kimura and the Americana, like some of your guys' main attacks from that, area
we were
in Mao?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were Americana. Like the one, I forget the variation, but the Americana and the one that the Americana with your legs, I forget. I know there's another name for it. I can't remember, but it's so old school. Like I show it now and guys go, what are you doing? Like that's... You know, like, but like the one, you know, basically from scarf, you'd get side and you'd switch off the scarf, which you just don't do anymore. I mean, I do it occasionally to show it or just to try to get somebody old school because it's fun. But you try to Americana guy with your legs. I think I've seen a couple guys do it in MMA. And then if the guy sees it coming and he tries to straighten his arm, then you put it out, you know, under the other leg, under your fire leg, and you can straight arm them that way. And I think I was doing this the other day at the gym. I was showing some guys that, and they're like, oh man, that's actually pretty good. And I'm like, oh yeah, the old school stuff still works. Guys, just because jiu-jitsu is evolving. I always tell the guys, just because it's evolving, you know, doesn't mean you throw out the other stuff. The other stuff it's still there. I still hit like simple hip bumps and still throw on, you know, I'm basics all the way, but you have to understand the new stuff and you might pick things that you want to do, but you don't just go, oh, well that, you know, not going to catch anybody with that anymore.
The first time you saw the Farambolo, what did you think about that? Were you just like, what the hell is this guy doing?
You know what? That happens to me. The what the hell is this guy doing happens to me probably once a month at the club. Because I go in there and I mean, pretty busy right now. I'm obviously going to get in the gym more, but I got a couple young girls, like a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. So I've been the jiu-jitsu's been lacking in the last few years, but starting to pick up again. And so I just kind of come into the gym and, you know, I hadn't been there in a few weeks or whatever, or a month. And I come in and guys are on, you know, they're doing something else. And the guys that are in there every day, you know, they're always picking up the newest thing. They're seeing the newest move, whoever's, you know, whoever won Worlds or whoever's got a new video up and they're trying to counter, which is what you have to do. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but I'm very visual, like not very visual, but I actually have to do it. And I have to have somebody do it to me. Like somebody says, oh, what do you do if somebody has you in 50-50 guard? And for instance, and I said, I don't know, what the hell is that? Put me in it. that's how it works. And then somebody will go and they'll throw me in and I'll go, well, what's the point of this? you don't have an advantage. You have the same position I have. And they're like, yeah, I know. But this is what, you know, whoever's doing. And I'm like, oh, I guess I just do this and grab here and do this. And then I kind of work my way through it. And that's kind of what happens when I go in there and somebody tries to do Farambolo or does whatever, then I'll kind of let them sometimes, like I'll let them do, cause I'll see that they are doing something that I don't quite get. And then I'll let them go to a certain point till it's past my comfort zone. And I feel like, I don't like where this is going. This feels like I'm going to be in a bad position. And then I'll kind of counter it. But I mean, some of the newer stuff I like, some of it I don't, because I feel like some of it, and it's not, and I understand that it's sport jiu-jitsu, but I still, because of where we started and because of to me the base of jiu-jitsu and the fact that it was really born out of, you know, Gracie jiu-jitsu and you know, not going back as far as the judo roots and all that stuff, but the fact that what the Gracies did to jiu-jitsu and you know that they emphasized the ground and that they really kind of geared it to MMA, because that's what, you know, that's what they were doing. They were doing MMA. They were doing all these Aikido judo matches in Brazil. And I, because of that, sometimes when I see stuff and it's jiu-jitsu and I understand that it's sport jiu-jitsu and it's going to score you some points or it's going to gain you a position, I'm thinking to myself, oh, you just could never even attempt that in MMA. You just get your face smashed off, you know? And I know, I understand, like, people, yeah, but they're different. You got to train no-gi, and you got to train gi, and you got to train sport jiu-jitsu and MMA. I still like to, you know, I like to eliminate the stuff where I would get my face smashed off because I don't want to get good. I don't want to get really good at it and rely on it and go to it and then be in a fight or be in a situation and be like, oh, I'll just do this. And then all of a sudden get crushed. So, yeah, I mean, I like the stuff and I like the fact that people are always trying new things and it's evolving. And, you know, I'm constantly yelling at people, the gyms are throwing on worm guard and stuff and having to deal with that. But it's interesting. It's fun to, come up with counters for that stuff, but I don't do it as much as I come up with ways to beat it. So anyway,
yeah, I wonder how much some of that old school stuff that you guys were learning back then, I have a feeling it would be highly effective because people wouldn't even know what you were trying to do. They'd be like, what is this guy doing? They'd be so confused. They're like, what?
Yeah.
Why did he just let go of this? And then all of a sudden you're like in this other submission and they're like, how did I just wind up here? You know, it's like, damn.
Yeah.
You know, and I really like the fact how you said, you know, I'm the same way. When I first start drilling a move, I don't like to be the guy applying the move. I would rather have it applied to me because for some reason it's easier for me to process, like in that reverse situation where, like, if I'm in the submission, then I kind of have a better understanding of how to apply it. You know, I mean, if that kind of makes sense, that's how it's easier for me to learn.
I can totally watch it
a few times.
Yeah.
But that sometimes I'm still sitting there going, what? And then once I'm in it, I'm like, oh yeah, duh. Like that's okay.
Yeah.
Now I get it.
Oh yeah. I totally agree. Like I'm sometimes I think like, is there something wrong with me when somebody's explaining something to me? And I'm like, I got a few friends that are, they're really good with, they're really analytical and they go over everything point by point. And, you know, like I just mentioned to one of my friends that, you know, like, well, yeah, I'm going to fight. I'm going to have a no-gi sub match with John Steven. And he's like, oh, well, he's going to do this, and this, and he's going to try this. And you got to counter this and you got to do it. And you know what I mean? He starts going off. I'm like, whoa. You know, we got to be on the mats, right? Cause everything you're saying to me is, and that's the, like, that's the way I am. Like I can have somebody explain, and some people could do that. You can explain something to them and they can just go, Oh yeah. Well, I just reached through and I'd arm drag and I'd, you know, pin this or do this or make sure your head is here. But for me, and I'm the same way, even when I'm teaching something, like that's why I got to teach more because people ask me stuff and I have to be on the mats. Like I have to be in the situation because half the time when I'm teaching something, when somebody asks me, well, how did you get me in that? Or how did you get out of that? Then I have to, like, I just go, let me see. And I drag a body over whoever's closest and do it. And then while I'm teaching, and I'm sure that this happens to a lot of people, like as you're teaching, you realize you pick out the fine points of what you're doing. And then you can, you know, then you can actually analyze your own technique and you can say, okay, I got to make sure when I teach, I show this point because I forgot it because I wasn't doing it. But, you know, this is important. And at the same time, I'll have like Kevin, you know, I'll come into the gym and I'll have been there for a while. And Kevin Taylor will go, he'll go, okay, so we've been doing this a lot. And he'll show me something that they've been doing in class. And he'll say, you've been doing this to me forever. And I couldn't figure out what you were doing. And you don't know what the hell you're doing. And I finally figured it out. And then he'll show it to me. And I'll go, oh, yeah, I do that, you know. And like, I'm sure that happens with lots of people, but it's just a different, you know, people learn different ways. And some people can watch a video and go to the club and, you know, watch a YouTube video, go to the club and do it. I got to be pretty well watching the video as I'm doing it, or I got to be in the situation and then work my way out of it. But, yeah.
Hey, Kyle, first off, man, this has been just a pleasure for us and the fans to kick back and hear, you know, some of the stories and talk to you and pick your brain. And I want to thank you for, because I know it's late where you are and your part of the world. And we're going to get to heading to wrap this up soon. So I want you to take this time, man. Anybody you want to give shout-outs to, if you got any sponsors, gym information, anybody you want to thank, take some time. It's all for you.
Okay. You know what? I'll give a shout out to everybody at the club. Obviously, I'll be there. They're probably all wondering where I was this week, but had a crazy week. But you know, all the guys that are fighting in the event. Let me think here. All those guys. I don't have any sponsors. That's probably a shout out worth. Worth mentioning is that I got to get some so I can work less and get my ass to the gym. Yeah, I don't know if really he will. Like I said, it's getting late. just want to, you know, I want to give a thanks to Kat for lining this up, because this is, you know, this is something I need. I'm getting old. I'm going to be 38 soon, so this is something that you know, I jump at the opportunity to do. I want to get out there and get in the best shape I can, and you know, going against a guy who's a world champ, and he's training and teaching at Marcella's every day. It's pretty awesome for me, and it's great motivation. So yeah, and give him a shout out, and anybody that's sponsoring the event, and anybody who wants to sponsor anybody at our club, we're open to it. I mean, all the guys there train hard, and you know, Gavin, Joel, and Josh, and anybody I'm missing, Nate. I'm sure if I had the poster in front of me, I'd probably remember everybody, but they're all, you know, they're all hardcore. They're in there a couple times a day, and it's good to have those young guys keeping me going, because they're not gonna be easy on me. I'm sure they can't wait to shark bait me. So,
hey Kyle, thank you so much.
I'll be there for that.
I hope we can get you back on down the road to just kick back and BS with us, because man, I guarantee there's a lot more me and Lepaki could pick your brain about.
Yeah, I could probably. I'm not a big talker, but you probably wouldn't know that, because right now, you hit the right subject. I can talk for a while. I can talk about this stuff for a long time. And yeah, thanks for having me on. Anytime, just let me know, because I got a lot.
You got
to
it, brother. Hey, you go have a good night.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Later.
See you, Kyle.
Thanks, buddy.
Later. See ya.
Kat.
Hey,
know,
buddy.
We still got about 10 minutes, so let's talk a little bit more about Submission Series 902. I know this event, obviously, we've all touched on it, but, you know, you're actually flying in world competition. This isn't something that you're doing to stroke some local boy's ego. You're trying to legitimize your tournament and your events with some of the best competitors in the world. How's this going? We got a lot of people asking, how do they get on this? You know, so for the fans out there, what are we looking at criteria-wise? You know, what are you thinking?
Yeah, excellent question, actually. Yeah, I've been getting kind of a lot of the same questions too. It's one of those things. I just kind of, you know, I've been doing events for a long time across Canada, and I've done some in Europe, and it's just one of those things. Since I started jiu-jitsu, and since I moved back home to Nova Scotia here, we started a couple tournaments, and I said, you know, we have too much talent here on the East Coast that we just have to spread the love a little bit more, you know. So we're just going to fly them in, you know. Some guys can't afford to go, you know, to these big tournaments all over the place. So if it's one of those things where we got to put Nova Scotia on the map and put some of these like guys like Kyle Sanford and Josh Presley and Wincy and all these other Joel Jacquard, all these other big guys with Michael Tremblay flying in, and you have guys like John Sataba flying in and Alessandro Roman Camargo. Like, these are some big name guys, like you said, in the jiu-jitsu scene. So we're going to grow this promotion. We're going to take it to the top and make it Canada's version and the best version of submission only jiu-jitsu and grappling there is. So we're going to build it and take it wherever it needs to go. And, you know, if people need to get in touch, they can just on Facebook, it's Submission Series 902, Instagram it's as well. And then Twitter account will be the same, with Submission Series 902. And then obviously if they need to get in touch, they can phone 902-754-3303 if they want to apply. But it's pretty much just purple belts, brown belts, and black belts from around the world. And we have a couple guys at the club that kind of sit down and mend over a few different fights and see what we think. But now at this point, we're starting to get a lot of interest. A lot of people, like you said, are trying to get on these cards, and we'll see what happens. We'll try to match up guys who they think they're interested in, and you know, there's guys like you know, Kit Dale. He's another guy who's shown a little bit of interest in dropping by. You know, he just moved over to the States from Australia, and you know, he's going to be there at Metamoris doing his thing. So, you know, he's a guy I've spoke to, and he's certainly of a lot of interest. And you know, there are a lot of guys that are a lot of interest, but there's obviously a ton of Canadian guys too that I want to get involved. So you guys know who Jake McKenzie is, obviously, from Truro here, from Halifax. GF team, lives in Brazil full time. He's one of the guys who kind of got a lot of us into jiu-jitsu. So he's one of the guys, and I'd like to get him involved. And, you know, there's a lot of names out there, so we'll see what happens.
Well, do you think you could coax Peter Martel to get on the mat?
Oh, I don't. That would be hard. But I'll tell you one thing: I'm not the guy who's going to get on the mat with him. That's one scary dude, man.
Would you let Peter walk out with his 1970s pimp jacket and his glasses to the mat?
Of course. No question. You know, I have a lot of respect for Peter Martel, man. Who doesn't? You know, Peter Martel can do whatever he wants. So, you know, in my opinion, if Peter Martel wants to fight, if he wants to come announce, he can do whatever he wants. So, but yeah, he's a hell of a guy, and yeah, that'd be quite the image.
I would love it. I mean, you know, folks listening tonight, you know, you guys can start hashtagging or tweeting at him or at you know, Titan Halifax or anything, you know. Let's try to get a fan push, man. Maybe we can get him on the second event in 2015. I would love to see him back one more time. You know, I mean, we love him. We're big fans. I don't know how many times.
That's a great idea.
Lepaki, we've interviewed him, what, like 6 times probably?
I don't know, man. It's just like one big time. That's all I remember.
Yeah.
Like, it's like all one, you know, like all one, just like ton of fun.
I would love to see a fan push to try to get, you know, Peter on the mat, maybe as the surprise or the main or something, you know. That would be
who
really
would we get to fight him?
Boyd Sharp.
Boyd Sharp. There you go. Wrestling singlets.
Hey, I got it. Why don't you do Peter Martel versus U.S. Olympic wrestling coach Matt Lindland?
Ooh, there you go. Can we get Matt Lindland involved? I think we could.
I think Lepaki could make a call. He could get
there
his donuts picked up at the same time.
Hashtag Peter Martel.
Yeah.
Suit up.
You know, or, you know, another guy who loves to come to Canada and has got good ties in your area, Jeremy Horn.
Ooh, that's right, too. Him and Peter have done a couple seminars together here, too. That's right. Yeah, that's right. You know, another name that I'd like to get involved too is Jake Shields. You know, he's a good old household name. That's a good MMA guy, but he obviously got a hell of a ground game. So.
Oh yeah,
he's a beast on the ground, man. He is a beast on the ground.
Yeah, he really is. There's so many guys. There's so many, like he mentioned Jeff Jocelyn. You know, there's so many guys that, you know, Rowan Cunningham. You know, it's just. There's so many guys, black belts, just in Canada alone. But, you know, there's too much talent to even think about to bring it in. But, you know, every event's going to be at least two or three, you know, international headline fighters. And it's all going to be high-level talent. And the whole idea is to kind of showcase all our East Coast talent. You know, we have, like you guys said at the top of the show, you know, we have a lot of talent out here. And it's kind of one of those unknown part of the world, which is weird because we're just north of New York and Boston. But, you know, we're fighters and we're good people, and that's the whole idea of this event is to showcase, you know, the hospitality in the region of Nova Scotia and the East Coast of Canada and show what kind of good people we are and also what kind of events we can put on and show what kind of jiu-jitsu we can show to the world, right? So that's the whole idea, you know. The East Coast of Canada needs a little help right now, and we're not doing so well in the world, you know, with some things. So, you know, any different things we can produce, you know, the better, right? So jiu-jitsu is one of those things, and we'll see what happens with it.
Well,
yeah, there's a guy here in Eugene where I live at, Ben Baxter. He is originally, I want to say, he was trained under one of the Gracie Academies. And then when he went to Worlds, he got matched up in the final against another Gracie guy, and they cornered his opponent. So he ended up choking the guy to sleep. And then he went and joined, I believe it was Lovato's. And that's where they're affiliated now. Although I can know more about that place soon. I'm going there Monday to start training at that gym. It's where I originally started training here in Eugene. Everybody's kind of left that gym and is now over at a place known as Performance Grappling here. And a guy that trains there, Devin Roan, just won gold at the Worlds last month. So they've got some really high-level guys. training over there, Roma Pavlik, originally out of the Chicago area, trained out of there, and she's a fierce female grappler and undefeated MMA fighter.
Well, like she, you know, there's a girl in Canada who, you know, there's a couple regional girls that I'd like to get matched up, but a girl like Alison Tremblay here in Canada, like I'm not sure if you know, she just actually got her black belt, but you know, that's a good matchup we might be able to make. You know, I'm not opposed to any gym or any person. It's all about, you know, spreading the love of jiu-jitsu and the movement, right? Like it's not a competition here. We're not looking to compete with Metamoris, obviously. We're not looking to compete with anything. We're just trying to, you know, spread the movement of jiu-jitsu and you know, help everybody gain what we all love, you know, the lifestyle.
Hey Kat, you know, I'm definitely excited about what you're doing. In January, we're going to do another show with you when we have, you know, everything lined out and you know how the matches will play out. That way we can sit down and break them down and go over, maybe even have a couple of the grapplers on the show. You know, before we wrap up this show tonight with you, I want you to take some time, man. Any thank yous, any sponsors, any information that you want to get out about the event that we haven't touched on, please feel free.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Thanks. Thanks to you guys for having us on. First of all, you know, it's an honor and a privilege to spend a little bit of time with you guys, kind of spreading our message across the country and down in the United States. It's really appreciative from my end. You know, there's a lot of local sponsors involved. You know, there's some big jiu-jitsu sponsors involved. ApolloOriginals.com, that's a big clothing line, a buddy of mine. So I'll give them a big shout out. That's ApolloOriginals.com. He's going to be a big sponsor. Obviously Subway, is a big sponsor, and, there's some other help involved, but we'll kind of get down the line. We'll chat more about that, but no, it's a good event, sold out with 280 tickets, and all the tickets will be available on ticketpro.ca, probably within a week or so. And, with the other tickets will be available from all the grapplers and fighters participating. So we're looking for some more interviews and, coming up, for some, more podcasts and things like that. So if anybody wants to get in touch, they can just find us on Facebook or through you guys.
Kat, you know, we're definitely going to be talking to you more over the holidays coming up in the first of the year and continue help work and get your event out there to everybody and help you hype it up and promote it some more. And, man, anything you need from us, you know how to contact us. Just hit me up.
Excellent. Of course. Yeah. You know, it'd be great to even maybe get you guys down here to cover an event, maybe for the June event. And we'll take good care of you guys. There's nothing better than June in Nova Scotia. We'll hit you up. That's lobster season here. So we'll get it right off the boat.
How far away is it that Acadia Fish Hut and Chips House? Is that very close to you?
Acadia, I've never heard of it, but you don't need that because you're coming to New Glasgow, which is the home of it. That's where lobster comes. We're going to get it right off the boat. We're going to get any fish and chips you need, anything you need. It's the freshest. Literally comes right off the boat 5 minutes away at the dock.
I'm taking you up on this, man.
Hey, I'm telling you. I'll give you the...
With the guy? Are you familiar with the guy out there, Olivier Aubin?
Mercier?
Yeah,
he was on the Ultimate Fighter Nations there this year. He's a really good, they call him the next GSP. We'll see what happens.
He's a guy I've been following for a few years, man. It was cool to see him on the Ultimate Fighter there. Hopefully he makes it back up into there.
Well, you know, it's funny. He fought actually in the last, I believe it was Ultimate Fight Night 54, which took place here in Halifax back in October. And I can't remember the guy's name he fought, but he finished the guy with, it was a, I think it was a reverse triangle. It was weird. It was kind of something like Kyle was talking about, like from the mount. It was kind of a, but he actually got submission of the night for it, $50,000 bonus. So give him a good shout out too. So.
Well, hey brother, we'll talk soon. I appreciate it, and you go enjoy your night. I know it's really late where you're at, and hit me up this week. We'll get working on more stuff together.
Excellent. Anytime you need some fresh seafood, you know how to. How to just ask. We'll send
you
it through.
You got it, brother. Have a good
Excellent.
Night.
Excellent. Appreciate it.
Everybody,
Thanks,
guys,
buddy. It was great talking to you guys.
Everybody get out there and check
What's
out
that?
Sub.
It was
Lepaki,
great
I'm sorry.
To you guys.
And, everybody, you guys get out there and check him out on Facebook, Instagram, like he was talking about. I'm going to play a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back to start with the second hour. This first hour, man, insane. I'm super pumped about his event. You guys need to get out there and check it out. Follow him, like him, share it. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
All right, everybody. We're going to kick off this second hour. We're going to be talking now with Mr. Rex Payne. How you doing tonight, brother? Welcome to Madhouse Live.
Hey, I'm doing great, Skippy. Thanks for having me again.
Hey, no problem, man. We got you on the show tonight. Obviously, it's been kind of a grappling show, and what better show to have you on than this one? Because I know you're working on getting a new BJJ school established here in the Pacific Northwest, and so it'd be a good time to talk about it.
Well, yeah, I'm starting a program in Vancouver, Washington, across the river from Portland.
I think I lost him. Well, we're going to give him a second. He's going to probably call right back. But, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about if we can get him back on in a second. He's establishing a new jiu-jitsu program. It's going to – I guess he's trying to structure it a little different with a smaller scale financially so that more kids can get into these programs. And here we go. Hey, Rex, you back, buddy?
Yeah, it seems to happen whenever we talk. Yeah, I'm starting a new program, Vancouver, Washington, Keegan Machado, Vancouver. We're tied in with Keegan Machado Association. Of course, I've been a Keegan Machado brown belt now for well over 2 years, going back to working with them on and off since 2007. It's not really a school. We're working with Gladiator MMA, which is a very well-established MMA school there. And it's just it's a two-day-a-week program. It's curriculum-based. It's more than being a sports jiu-jitsu type thing where you're going to go in and train, you know, maybe all the new fads and trends in jiu-jitsu and work on it every day and compete. I really want to take it back, and it's just a couple days of the week. I want it to be for maybe entry-level people, something they do after work, and I want to study jiu-jitsu, maybe like hoplology, like take it back to like Rio in the 50s, where jiu-jitsu was meant to be for self-defense. So we're doing the gis, we're learning the curriculum, we're working on the fundamentals, we're, you know, adding judo throws, keeping it fun, and... You know, I just want to share my love of jiu-jitsu with everyone here, and I want it to be reasonably priced. So it's $40 a month, 2 days a week. Keegan Machado's curriculum, and I think it's a great opportunity for people here if they just want to check out jiu-jitsu.
Now, you touched on it. You're going back to like basic the old school gi style and staying away from more of that 10th planet. You know, no gi. Style. Is that because you maybe feel like, you know, the roots are lacking these days?
No, but I think no matter what trends happen in jiu-jitsu, that solid fundamentals will always take precedence. And that's what I mean. I want to get back to really looking at judo as it was or jiu-jitsu. I want to talk about it in self-defense applications and focus on the gi. I don't want to get into playing all the 50-50 guards and every 6 months we're learning Barambolo and stuff. I mean, I was around in 2005 when De La Hiva was hot, and, you know, Barambolo looks like it branched off of that. And again, I think those things are all great, and I love watching jiu-jitsu. It's fun to play with, but I only want to spend a couple of days a week just really focusing fundamentals and looking at jiu-jitsu from a self-defense, fun for everybody type atmosphere.
So with this program, is this going to be orientated towards a younger generation? Is this open for moms, kids, anybody?
No, just starting out, it's really just adults. I really want to cater towards people myself. I'm 37 years old, and I love jiu-jitsu. I love after work. You know, I have to work full-time, and it's great. It makes me a better worker when I can do jiu-jitsu, you know, at night, and the next day I wake up and I feel great. And, you know, everyone talks about the jiu-jitsu lifestyle, and I want to share the greatest aspects of the jiu-jitsu lifestyle I have with people.
I like it. That's cool. No, you know, you're seeing, you know, we've got friends here at Madhouse up in Canada. We were just talking, you know, with Submission Series 902. The guys who introduced us to them is Boyd Sharp, and he, you know, he did a documentary called Cubicle to the Cage. A really good job to train for 1 year to become a professional fighter. And he ended up falling in love with Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and now his kids are into judo. I mean, like, it's affected his life in such a positive, as well as the other people who are on the show, but I'm just using him as a prime example. You know, 40-year-old man picked it up, and now, you know, he misses it when he can't make it to the gym to do the grappling.
Oh, it becomes so ingrained in like, everyday life. You know, people that do jiu-jitsu, I think they see the world differently. It teaches you to solve problems on the fly. You know, that's the thing that I want to share with people is that type, you know, just jiu-jitsu, the lifestyle, the way it makes you see the world, the way you get along with everyone. It's funny because I feel like I'm changing as a person or evolving or getting better. As a person, the belt ranks that go up, you know, I'm a brown belt now, and I think I'm better in life than I was as a purple belt all the way around. Family, security, stability, you know, and I think jiu-jitsu has been awesome for me that way.
Now, the coaching aspect, you know, I've talked to you before. I know that you really enjoy that. You know, with obviously working and working on this program, are we going to see you put MMA on the shelf for a while then?
No, I have a fight, and that's the thing is, I have one fight left. I mean, my last fight, I got injured. I broke a collarbone. I had to have surgery on it, and you know, it's kind of, I've been dealing with some things there. But I'm going to go out. I'm going to fight one last time in Denver, Colorado, versus a guy named Brian Crave in the spring. And he's a tough guy out there, and you know, we should have fought a few times already, and it's just a fight I want. So I have one fight left, but after that, I really just want to focus on growing this program. Not only am I doing a program here, you know, with he and Machado Vancouver, I'm doing seminars. I really want to reach out, and I want to establish little programs in rural communities all over the Northwest. Growing up, I grew up all over in small towns out here, and like I went to a new school every year in small towns, and I want to give back. I want to bring jiu-jitsu to them in some part-time basis where I can do seminars here and there and leave drills and stuff and establish programs for, you know, cheap, I don't want to say cheap. I just hate that word. It lessens what we're talking about, but affordable programs in rural communities throughout the Northwest, training jiu-jitsu a couple times a week. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm heading with what I want to do after I get done fighting, which I have one left this spring.
Now, you know, you talk about, you know, teaching and you know, and the basics and getting this new program going. Curiosity, I know you're a dad. Are your kids following your path in the grappling world?
Well, you know, I just had my two oldest sons, you know, move in, and they're actually new to it. They haven't had a lot of exposure to it. But
My middle one in his second class ever in wrestling today scored a takedown and was really stoked. And, you know, he's 11, and I was really stoked to see that. But, you know, my kids, all my kids have known, like, an arm bar and maybe push away and maybe a double leg their whole life. But I haven't really pushed it on them. I'm hoping they discover it. You know, and then my older one, I'm not sure he likes it at all. So, you know, I don't know.
Well, you know, they're kids, man. You know, what they like now, they might, you know, I'll be the first one to say when I was, you know, 10, 11, 12, I didn't love vegetables, man. By the time I was 30, man, I was like any kind of vegetable I could get. So, you know, we all change, you know, what we like and what we don't from kids, you know. But they have a great, you know, obviously opportunity, you know, with the people that you, you know, train with and the gym you're around and the groups
sure.
you're around. To, if they want to learn, to really learn all kinds of different aspects of the sport.
For sure. I think like most parents, I want my kids to pursue whatever they want in life. And should they really take an interest in this, they have great opportunities. I only train with the best people. If it turns into their passion, they'll have a great opportunity to pursue it at a much younger age than I started. But, you know, if they want to be scientists, I would much more encourage them work towards that.
Right? You're like, that's a lot less beat up body parts.
Yeah, but maybe that's me talking with the surgically repaired clavicle. I don't know. I'm kidding. I don't know. I think my kids are checking it out. They've been around it a long time, but it's been something that dad's always done. And now one of them might be taking interest and one not interested at all. So I guess we're yet to see where it goes.
Well, you know, you touched a little bit on the fight in Colorado. Is that because you want to go back to where it all started?
Yeah, I had my second amateur fight in Colorado. I turned pro in Colorado. I think, you know, I've had most of my professional wins in Colorado, and I have a lot of friends there. I love Colorado. I was born and raised in the Northwest, but I got to travel a lot through fighting. I've been fighting for well over a decade, and, you know, Colorado is one of those places, and Wyoming. You know, it's the Rocky Mountains is one of those places that get in your blood, for sure. So to go back there, you know, and get to see Red Rocks again and, you know, just visit some friends and fight one more time at my second home against a guy, you know, me and him don't really care for each other per se, you know, adds a little something extra to it. So, you know, at this point, every fight I take, I want to be big to me. You know, you can't always have every fight be big and building a career. Sometimes you're heading out of the game, and that, you know, that's where I'm at. I'm heading towards being a coach, and I got this one last fight, and I've made sure my last few fights have been big to me, you know, and that's kind of how I'm rolling out.
Hey, I like it. You know, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to, towards the end, to really just pick the way you want to go out, you know, and finish it up. You've had a long run, a good run, and you know, why not go home, you know, kind of thing and finish it off in front of, you know, where it all started.
Yeah, it'll be a great time when it happens, for sure. And I always love to be in tough fights. I do. I don't, you know, I was never patient. Coming up, it's funny because, like I say, I started out in small towns, and now having been, you know, I've been involved as a promoter. I've been involved as a matchmaker. I've been a coach. I've been a professional fighter. You know, now being involved in the sport from so many angles, you know, I was that guy that started out as an independent, and I'll fight anybody. And then, you know, the promoters have guys no one wants to fight, you know, so the independents get to eat that for a bit. You know, and then you start training, and, you know, now having a brown belt and being on the other end and having so many pro fights, it's fun.
Well, you know, I'm not going to lie. I never stepped in the cage personally, you know, not that kind of cage. But, you know, I got to say, you know, you some, you know, some fighters out there think, you know, UFC or my career was a failure, you know, and there's other guys, you know, out there who I look up to, like, you know, my prime example always is Tony Lopez, you know, I mean, you know, what, 5 titles, 6 titles in 3 different weight classes, you know, legendary king of the cage fighter. I mean, you can't, you know, it doesn't always have to be the UFC to say I had a good career. Jeff Munson has traveled the world, you know, he's another local boy from up here. And, you know, he's a legend.
No, I've had the best time with it. I mean, when I got into this, I was working in a sawmill, and I mean, I was working swing shift on a green chain, like wet lumber's coming out, I'm stacking it. It's such a miserable job that you go home and have nightmares of endless piles of wood coming at you just to wake up and go do it again, you know? And literally I've got a fight in 15 states. I got a fight on a Showtime production once. I got a fight top guy. Like, you know, I turned pro at 29, you know, I never was the up-and-comer that had the big push and did everything right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I made my career fun for me, and I had my own storyline to it, and I had many fights that were big, and I took them all serious, and I trained for them. And even when it don't work out, you know, if you put everything you have into a fight and put yourself in the best position you can to win, you know, I don't hang my head when it comes up short. You know, I felt good about everything with my last fight other than the break, you know, and it again was a good, tough opponent. And, you know, that's the way it happens, fighting.
That's true. Yeah. You know, tonight we're, you know, trying to talk a little bit about, you know, grappling world and everything.
Yeah.
You know, you step away from, you know, the MMA world, but does that mean you're going to step away from doing like tournaments? Like if Naga comes through Portland or Seattle or, okay,
no,
cool.
I, and even though I'm talking about wanting to teach jiu-jitsu on terms of like self-defense and stuff, I've competed very well in jiu-jitsu. You know, I've won tournaments in several states, and I want to get back to that. I want next year to be a lot about jiu-jitsu for me. But I'm going to coach. I'm gonna spread my program to rural communities with seminar series. I got 2 coming up. I have 1 in Chehalis. Can I go ahead and throw them out there?
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
All right. I have 1 November 29th at Hub City Powerhouse in Chehalis. I have a blue belt student there. Brian Spears runs a nice little program. December 13th, I'm in Long Beach, Washington at Pacific Integrated Martial Arts, you know, and I'm having a great time working with them there. And Long Beach is my hometown, so I get to go home and help establish some jiu-jitsu, you know, so that's good stuff coming up too. And then December 1st at Gladiator MMA in Vancouver is the official start of Higa Machado Vancouver.
And for anybody that's looking to get into that program, how do they get a hold of you, get a hold of the gym?
You can go right now. I just got the Facebook page up. It's facebook.com/, and it's like Higa Machado. It's RMBJJ Vancouver. And you can go there. There's gladiatormma.net. Gladiator MMA also has a Facebook page. And, you know, just send us a message, and we can get you in the right direction.
Well, you know, Rex, I appreciate you. I know you had class and you cut out of class and came to get on the show with us to talk a little bit about this. And I think it's a great deal. You know, me and Lepaki and guys at Madhouse, we always talk about, you know, getting back to the gi world. A lot of people are getting away from it because it's the cool thing is, you know, the no gi right now, especially for fighters. So I think it's great that you're trying to get back to the basics and drill that and get that, you know, flowing again. So I can't thank you enough.
Yeah, there's a niche for it. I mean, there's so much good jiu-jitsu in Vancouver and Portland. There's just good schools everywhere. I think jiu-jitsu is for everyone, just like cars potentially can be driven by everyone. So I just think if we're jiu-jitsu teachers, we all need to go out and grow the scene, make it as big as possible. So that's just the niche I want to stick with for myself. And thank you again for having me. It's been great.
Hey, no problem, brother. Yeah, you go enjoy the rest of your night with the family, and we'll talk soon.
All right, will do. Thank you. Bye.
Late. Everybody, guys, check him out, Rex Payne on Facebook. He told you guys how to find everything. It's super simple. Good show. Lepaki, one more thing about grappling. Guess who's throwing a grappling tournament? And Madhouse is part of the sponsors. Said he was here. Well, I'll tell you, folks. The second submission grappling challenge in Tunisia. In Tunisia, put on by Ben Hassim and the Tunisian fighters. Bam! That's gonna be cool.
That'll be interesting. Who's competing in it?
It doesn't say. It's just the promo poster and our logo. And it's so funny because they love that old school clown logo. I mean, like, I've sent him every file. He's like, yeah, we like this one. But I can't bitch because we're all over North Africa thanks to him.
Yeah, you know, North Africa, the Philippines.
Well, it's funny because, you know,
this weekend is No Sleep Till Bangkok, Full Metal Dojo, baby.
Dude, and tell me the G.I. Joe fight card is not the shit.
No, I like it.
I think that is, dude, he's so clever, man. Like, what he did with Dare and what he's done so far with Full Metal Dojo, I mean, like, no two ways about it, man. The guy's just got this, I don't know what you'd call it, this gift, I guess. Because, I mean, he comes up with the catchiest things to hype his events.
I agree, dude. It's awesome.
Yeah, there's a this weekend.
I like the No Sleep Till Bangkok is my favorite. Yeah, the 22nd.
Well, you know, this weekend there's a ton of events. The Sumo World Championships right now on Madhouse, rearnakedsmoke.net, which will be changing soon, folks, is the Judo Grand Prix tournaments. I know that I posted it earlier, and you could sign up and get a free link for the World Sambo Championships in Japan. Showdown Fights, Castillo versus Bristol Morande. That's going on. Oh, the MMA deal. What's that MMA deal in Madison Square Garden? Isn't that this weekend? Victory MMA?
Victory, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's only amateur.
Yeah, it's only amateur, and it's Muay Thai and MMA fights. But I'm going to try to catch it. It's at 11 a.m., bare-knuckle boxing, like true old-school bare-knuckle boxing. Just you show up in your fight shorts, and that's it. You don't get no hand tape or nothing. I'm going to check it out and see if it's legit, see what it's like. I'll be honest. I want to know a little bit more about it because they've been real. Other than the promo poster, there's nothing to be said about it. So I don't even know if the event's going to happen. It doesn't say where the event is. I cannot seem to find out any information, really good, solid information on it. I do know the main event is Devin Bradley with 6-0 with 6 KOs versus Deka Hiji, 5-0 with 5 KOs. So, and which is funny because he looks just like Will Hammond, dude. I swear to God, when I first saw it, I was like, is that Will?
Probably.
So I'll be checking that
news.
Event
There's
out.
Some big news coming from Will and them here about something early in the beginning of the year.
Are we talking Texas?
No, talking Washington.
Oh, okay, cool. Let's see. Oh, we were talking about what's going down this weekend. Yeah, I'm kind of curious if I can. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to catch that event because it starts so early. I think it's got to be out of country just because of the time it's starting. But KMMA 3 is going down. You guys can find the fight cards for that event. It's a Croatian event. We have it up on MMAMadhouse.com. The Jordan Amateur Championships, their very first event, we have that fight card as well up there. That's going down. That's going down tomorrow morning, our time. Isn't Nitrix going down in Australia this weekend? Maybe it's next weekend.
Something's going down in Australia this weekend, but off the top of my head, I can't remember. I think Sean is actually working it.
Did you see that Jesse's got dates locked down in both Denmark and Australia from Unified Combat League?
Yeah, no, I saw that.
I sent him a message, you know, because when he first told me about it, you know, which was a couple weeks ago, I knew that there was, you know, nothing I could, you know, really say because I didn't know much more than he said he was close to locking down a deal for some international shows. But as soon as I found out what they were, that last one's a pro card, a pro-am card in Australia. I was like, dude, got to get our girl on there.
I don't know. I can't really say anything right now.
Ah, I like where you're going with that. Well, Lepaki, it was a great show. It went a lot longer than we've been doing lately. We've been trying to stick to one-hour shows, folks. And we've only got a couple shows left this month, and then we're taking December off. Me and Lepaki are going to Jamaica for 1 month, all-inclusive vacation, paid for by the taxpayers of the United States of America. Thank you, guys. I'm just joking.
Hell yeah.
Me and Lepaki both claimed 18 children this year.
God, I can't wait to see them all.
Well, hey, brother, it was a good show. I appreciate everything. I will talk to you on the flip side. Everybody out there, get out there and support your local MMA. Eagle!
Osprey, twats.